Thanks for joining the podcast with Tamara Gondor. Conversations with everyday innovators that reject status quo, think differently, and make a positive difference in their world. Listen in so you can ignite innovation, influence others, and make an impact too. And now your host, CrossFit addict, knee-high sock lover, and according to her kids, average cook, Tamara Gondor.
Here we are live streaming all over the place for an episode of With Tamara, and I could not be more excited for today's guest. I just want to give you a hint of a backdrop before I ask her to introduce herself. So I met Savannah at an speaking engagement I had in Minnesota, and Brainerd, if I'm saying that right, I'm not even sure if I'm saying the city right, but I just remember Brainerd, I was close, the awesome event. And Savannah had this incredible conversation afterwards, and she shared this story of innovation with me. And I just thought, oh my gosh, that's too good not to share with the community. So, and you know, I'm all about the everyday innovator, the people like me and Savannah, and those of you watching who are out there who are doing little and big things of innovation in their job. We're not the Elon Musks and the Steve Jobs of the world. They're great. But for the rest of us who are out there igniting innovation. So Savannah, it's so good to see your face again. Welcome. Let's just tell everybody a little bit about kind of who you are and what you're responsible for at your organization.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here. So at Highway, my official title is the Executive Administrative Assistant, but I work with 7 different senior executives here across the board. So my job description is pretty much whatever it needs to be on that very day. So I can do anything from graphic design, business development, community outreach, event planning, grant writing, vendor management, vendor negotiations, just kind of a little sprinkle of everything.
So basically, you're the person who makes sure things move forward.
Yes, that's what I like to think of it as.
You know what I have come to learn in my years of experience is that that's the person that's actually most important in the organization in a lot of ways. And I think also has insight into a lot of different areas and is prime for innovative ideas because you see things outside a silo that other people don't. I think that's pretty cool. So speaking of innovation, your everyday innovator style is inquisitive risk taker, which for those watching, so you know what that really means is that, Savannah, I have a question for you on this. But what that really means, the inquisitive is all about innovation, the questions, not the answer, challenging assumptions, digging deep, bringing deep innovation to the table. So while the rest of us play on the surface, people like Savannah tend to like dig a little and dig a little and dig a little and find new ideas. And then the risk taker side, which that's one of them that you and I have in common, is all about innovating in the uncomfortable. So we're actually better leaping, getting uncomfortable, and then innovating than staying comfortable. For us, comfortable doesn't work as well. It's not that we can't be there and be good there, but for innovation, we need to leap. So my question for you, Savannah, is tell me with all that, tell me a little bit about how you think about igniting innovation in your day-to-day world.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it really all starts about asking a lot of questions. Whenever there is anything that comes up, I always have more questions, and then people give me answers, and then that brings more questions. So I think that, you know, knowing that there's always additional questions to ask really helps you kind of dig deeper and find where there could be solutions, where you maybe didn't think that there could be, you know, something better. And I think that right off the bat is really helpful. And then I think, too, definitely, I enjoy being in situations that are kind of new and exciting, and I don't have a problem with being uncomfortable. So knowing that, it makes it easier to kind of jump in and try new things.
Do you think that, you said so many good things, I want to ask 2 follow-up questions. One is on the inquisitive side is when you ask those questions, do you find, this has been my experience with inquisitives, do you find that you also then get other people to think differently? Because you tend to ask, and I saw it in you in the conference when we were talking, you tend to ask questions that aren't the normal ones necessarily, or aren't the ones we've always been asking. So do you find that then makes other people go, huh, as well, not just you?
Yeah, it definitely does. I think that it's helpful because I think about things in a way maybe other people don't always think to ask about. And I think that that helps them come up with then their own questions. And so then that leads to other new ideas. And it really kind of diversifies the thought in the room.
So, and on the other side, the risk taker, this is just kind of more of on a personal side, because I think, you know, there's this myth out there that we all have to get comfortable, like we have to be fearless, we have to leap and be like, love it at every moment. But what I heard you say is, I'm okay getting uncomfortable. So I guess my question for you is, and I think this is great, I think with your answers, great advice for everyone out there is, do you find that you ever get, does it ever get easier, or does that feeling of uncomfortable go away, or do you just get better at dealing with it?
That's actually a really good question. So I think that a lot of people have said that, you know, when I go places and I talk and I seem really confident, but I'm super nervous. I'm always super nervous, you know, and it is really uncomfortable to go to these situations or try new things and do something a different way than you've done it. But that pushing yourself, I think, gets easier. It gets easier to push yourself. The uncomfortableness doesn't change, but being able to push yourself into it gets easier. And then you appreciate it so much more when it's done. So it's worth it.
So, oh my gosh, Savannah, you're so great. I love that. I love that idea of appreciating uncomfortableness. Like, I've never really thought of it that way. We should appreciate the awkwardness. That's actually, I never thought of it that way. That's really great advice for all of us. I hope everybody just went, oh, I should appreciate this kind of crappy feeling. That's good. Mm-hmm. All right. So share with us there's got to be a better way moment and what that led to.
Yeah. Okay. So this is a fun story for me. So when I first started at Highway, I was in the contact center and I found out, you know, we have to determine if somebody is inside or outside of our zone for membership. And our specific zone is kind of shaped like a moose. So I'll refer to it as the moose. And so what we would do to determine this is we'd take, you know, a printout of a little 8.5 by 11 of where this person lived. And then we'd go up to the big zoomed out moose on the wall. And then we would determine, okay, well, is it inside of this line or is it not inside of the line? And that process would take, you know, 5 minutes plus. And right away I was like, there has to be a better way to do this. And so I'd asked about it and they're like, well, this is what we do right now, but we do have this really cool suggestion program where you can submit your suggestion. And that would be a cool idea too.
That's a great step one.
Yeah, definitely. So with that, I was like, okay, well, I really want to make sure that I get this idea accomplished. So what do I need to do? So right away, I went and talked to my mom, who actually happens to work for the Department of Transportation. So she's been making maps her whole life. So I was like, Mom, how do I make this map? Can I do this? Is it easy? What does it take? So I was like, talk to an expert. And she said, yes, we can, like, they could do that. It could work. It could be, you know, this easy. This is the type of work that it would take. And so then my next step was, okay, what kind of costs are associated? And I think that part was pretty exciting for me because I was like, well, let me calculate how long I take to do this. And then let me times that by how often I do it per week. And then how many associates are doing it in the department. And then I got all the way up to, you know, how much it was costing per year just for that one activity and figured out how much money we could save if we switch to this new idea. And so I really tried to gather as much information as I could before I submitted the idea.
So there's a few things I want to ask you about in there because they're so good. And I remember being kind of blown away by some of the things you did to get the idea forward. So first off, I have to imagine that not only you, but people were frustrated with this whole like print out, go match it on the wall thing, but people just kind of dealt with it, right? Like it was just, But I have to imagine, right, that people didn't like it.
I mean, I think at that point it was just kind of the normal. So people are just like, that's just how it's done, you know?
Yeah, which is a great insight right there that we get so comfortable in how it's done, even when it doesn't work very well. So the other thing I just want to highlight and have you share a little bit more of is you did the math. And I think that's so brilliant because one of the mistakes I think we as everyday innovators make is we present our ideas and then hope for the buy-in before proving the pain. And I think pain gets people to see possibilities. And without it, people miss it, right? Maybe they're not the ones who have to do it every day. Maybe they've got other priorities, whatever, they miss it. What was that like? Like, was it kind of a big aha? Because I got to imagine too, for that number was actually big.
Yeah, I was surprised with how much the cost was that was being spent with just that activity, with the amount of time that, you know, we were taking doing it every single day. So I think that being able to kind of calculate that and figure out some of those like metrics and analytics was really helpful because it connected that here's this cool innovative idea, but here's the data behind it. Because when you're wanting to move an innovative idea forward, you need to have that data to back it. Otherwise it's really hard to move forward.
So my next question to that then is, what was the response when you showed them the math?
Yeah, I mean, so I didn't get a response immediately. And I think that that's something to be said, that when you want to do innovative ideas, things don't always move right away. Sometimes yes. things are slow, but that's okay. And yeah. so I didn't have a response right away, but I would say that after a month or so, they were like, hey, this is great. Like, thank you for sending it to us. We had thought maybe before this, you know, there could be a better way for this, but we took a look at it. We took a look at the numbers. We took a look at what we could do. And then we decided to go forward with the idea, and they had it created fairly quickly, and it worked super quick. It's a fantastic thing that our IT team created for us.
So that's awesome. And, you know, I think there's another great lesson in there that I hadn't really thought about, which is, you don't always have to be the one to implement it. So, right, the team did it, but you came up with the idea, you figured out how, you proved it, and then they implemented it. But I just want everybody who's watching and going to be listening later, like, what, Savannah, what a cool story, what a great accomplishment. So congratulations. The fact that you took this thing that was just like, there's got to be a better way, like this just does not make sense, but actually did the research to figure it out and prove it to the stakeholders. Before and then get the buy-in. So now let me ask, now that they've implemented the idea, what is that process like, and what other impact has it had now that that very long laboring process is off the table?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the process is almost instant now. So you put in the address and the check is just immediate. You don't have to get up and walk around, you know, to go do anything. I think it reduces paper costs because we're not printing out pieces of paper anymore. So there's definitely, you know, the economic benefit to it, economic. But I think that the process in general, because it's so much quicker and easier, it's, you don't even think about, you know, the way that we used to do it. And it's kind of funny when we bring it up and talk about it, because the old map is still there. You know, we don't necessarily use it that way, but it's still there.
Well, I kind of like that it's there as a reminder too of innovation, and right, that's your people, that's your area. So it's kind of nice to have it. It's like artwork now instead of like a tool.
Yeah.
I love it. So as an everyday innovator, you know, who's really trying to, and you kind of said it with your job description too, kind of move things forward and innovate. What big challenge have you faced, and how have you overcome it?
Yeah, I think that with innovation, the biggest thing that you're going to run into right away is resources, because it takes a lot of different departments working together a lot of times to make something change and move forward, any sort of process, procedure, product. So having that impact and thinking about how many different people need to work on it to be able to get it accomplished, that's very challenging. And then I think another thing that can be challenging is, you know, wanting to get senior management support or management support in general, because you're not going to move forward without, you know, that strategic support. So it's really important that the leaders are able to both provide the resources that people need to be able to move forward with the project if they want it to move forward, and then providing, you know, their support of the project and making sure everybody knows that they are on board with that.
So how do you think about the first steps that you would take, knowing that you need to deal with a lot of different people in different departments? And I think that's true for most of us. We don't innovate alone, and we don't work alone, so it never happens. How do you, Savannah, how do you think about making that happen?
Yeah, I think that it's all about preparation at first. So you really want to do your research. You want to talk to experts. You want to find people who know better than you on the subject. And I think that credit unions are unique in that way, that we're kind of this cooperative environment. And it makes it really easy to reach out and talk to your peers and say, hey, I don't know this. Can you give me some information? And so I think that it's really important that if you have this cool, innovative idea, that, like I said, you have that data and that information to back it. So I think whenever I have an idea and I'm interested in changing something, the first thing I do is just a lot of research and try to make sure that I'm really knowledgeable on what I'm trying to do, so that I know that it is actually a good idea too. Because sometimes I'll come up with something and then find out it's a terrible idea once I learn more.
But what I appreciate about that I hope we all hear is, you don't want to judge it too soon either. I've had ideas I thought were terrible that when I started research turned out to be great ideas, and vice versa, right? I've had ideas that I thought were brilliant, and then once I researched them, I was like, oh, never mind. That is actually horrible. But the fact that you're willing to do the research and figure it out first, I think that's the magic, right? That's the key to the success, is taking the time and not shutting yourself down too soon.
And I think a lot of, you know, young professionals get really excited about innovation and they go to these conferences and they have these big ideas. And then when they bring them back, what they bring is just the innovative idea. They don't bring how you're going to do it, the plan behind it, who it's going to affect, how it's going to, you know, benefit. And I think that that extra step is what helps it become successful.
You're listening to Conversations with Everyday Innovators on With Tamara Gondor Podcast. Let's take a moment to thank our generous partners that make this possible.
Can't wait to share this product with you. It's made a huge difference in my household. It's Howdy Puppy, the premier CBD pet treats for dogs. Now, for those of you who know me, you know I have a 100-pound Mastiff named Zoe Bear, and she is a cuddle bun, but she's 10 years old. And she suffers from two things. First, from the aches and pains of old age. We go for these long walks that she loves, but afterwards she's got joint stiffness and it's hard for her to get up off the floor. And she suffers from a little bit of anxiety. She doesn't love new people. So when you come over to my house, she tends to bark. She gets really anxious. She gets very riled up. So I started giving her CBD pet treats. And guess what? It has helped tremendously with both. Now her aches seem to be a little bit better. She doesn't have as hard of a time getting up off the floor. She recovers faster from our walks. And when people come over, she's less riled up. She's able to handle it better. CBD has been proven to help with aches of old age, joint stiffness, nightmares, anxiety, separation anxiety, stress, hyperactivity. I really encourage you to go check out the website. And here's the best part. It comes in three flavors, steak, bacon, and cheese wraps. And the steak look like steaks, and the bacon look like bacon. And yeah, the cheese wraps look like cheese wraps. So it's so much fun to give it to them. I'm giving Zoe a little bit of steak or a little bit of bacon or cheese every day. It's so great. She loves them. I love what it does for her. It's a win-win. And hey, if you're new to CBD pet treats like I was, I encourage you to go check out the website. Because on there, they have blogs that talk about the efficacy and the safety of it. This product is great. It is USA grown, USA processed and produced. It is non-GMO. The list goes on and on. But go to the website and check it out. And if you've got a dog that suffers from those aches and stiffness or anxiety or hyperactivity, this might be the product for you. Howdy Puppy. I will put the link in the show notes. And in full disclosure, I love it so much that I am a founding investor and partner. So good. Howdy Puppy.
So I think that's really great advice. And I'm going to flip the advice for a second and ask you for advice for leadership. So I've got emerging leaders coming in. I've got the younger generation coming in. And you, to your point, your advice to them is innovate and back it up. What is your advice to leaders in terms of making sure that they're fostering that culture for that generation and for the workforce?
Yeah, I think that starts with asking your people what they need, because providing resources is great, but you're not always going to understand what resources they actually need. You may think you know what the resources are, but I think it's important to really ask your team, what do you need? What can I do to help you succeed? And then making sure that that is actually available. I think that that's really, really important. And then, you know, making sure that you have the right people and that you're really empowering those people to be able to succeed themselves and not trying to take over it. Because I think that that can be very tempting sometimes when you're a leader. It's hard to let other people take over sometimes.
Yes, it is. I can tell you in my many, many years in work, you know, it reminds me of when we were playing rock, paper, scissors, and we were talking at the, you know, we were talking about how, like, when the person doesn't know how to play rock, paper, scissors, instead of saying to them, how would you do it? What do you need to learn how to do it? We say, oh, here are the rules. So we miss that opportunity to tap some naive intelligence and some different thinking, because as leaders, we're like, oh, here are the rules. Just follow these rules. So I think it kind of relates to what you're saying. When you think about your work, your career, your life, what are you most proud of accomplishing?
I mean, it's hard to think about accomplishments, I think, as a young professional, because I still feel like I have so much left in my journey to accomplish. But I guess I'm really proud right now just of my ability to kind of take feedback and use that. And I think that it can be really hard sometimes to hear critical feedback, but it's so important. And I think that I've really kind of honed in on being okay with hearing that my ideas maybe are not the best, or that maybe the way that I was going with a particular project is not the direction that we want to move forward. And then I use that as a learning opportunity. Recently, I did a project for somebody where I put some charts together for them, and they were like, no, these are all wrong. This is how I want them. And I use that as an opportunity to learn how to make charts better. So I think that it's really important to take feedback and use it as an opportunity.
Hey, I'm going to ask you an Oprah question on this one. Let's look on the couch. Because I think that's really important and really hard for people. It is easy to hear praise. It's really hard to hear what we need to improve. And I think oftentimes we fall into this trap of, well, they just don't get it, right? It's them, it's not me. I'm good, they don't get it, but we do have a lot to learn from other people. Is this ability to take in the positive and the improvement feedback on your end, is that a skill you've always had? Or have you developed it over time? And if so, how? Like, what advice do you have for the rest of us who are like, yeah, okay, I hear you, Savannah, you are right. Like, we need to be better at listening for improvement. But it's hard, right? Like, nobody wants their baby to be called ugly.
Mm-hmm. It's hard. I've gotten better at it over time. It's not something that I've always been good at. I think that I used to take it really hard when people would tell me something I'd been working really hard on was not the greatest. But I think that I had that situation flipped on me where I needed to tell somebody that they were moving in the wrong direction. And so I saw it from that perspective. And that really gave me the idea that, you know, I need to take this as an idea for improvement. And so it was, again, really uncomfortable. And yeah, it was really hard at first to hear when people would tell me that they didn't like it. But that one got much, much easier. Now I'm just like, yes, give me the feedback. I want to hear, tell me all of the problems with it, because I think that my final product is going to be so much better if I have all of that critical feedback.
I feel like you just dropped the mic, Savannah. That was just such great advice. And I think a lesson for so many of us to see those opportunities as ways to improve, not to shut us down. But it's so easy to get frustrated when we get the, like, especially if we put a lot of time into it, whatever it is, you know, like the idea that we would put all this effort into it to then for them to go, you get a C minus on this. It's hard for people. And I get it. It's hard for me too, but I'm so with you on that. So what advice do you have for other everyday innovators out there looking to make an impact the way you have?
Yeah, I guess my biggest advice would be to start with, you know, doing your research, finding your data, and then also being patient and being persistent. I wrote about that in an article previously, but it's important to both be patient with the process, knowing that there are a lot of steps, and a lot of those steps are going to probably be behind the scene, depending on where you're at and which department you work with. So you need to be patient in knowing that there may be things happening that you can't see, but at the same time, you need to keep that persistence level up there. If nobody's mentioned the project in a while, bring it back up. You know, you don't need to be crazy hounding people about it, but keep it in people's minds so that they're not forgetting about it. So basically just don't give up on the idea. And eventually, maybe months, maybe years, hopefully it will get innovated.
So that's great. We just had a question and then you answered the question. The question was, can you go on about patience and persistence? Give me an example. And then they said, thank you, because you then went off. And gave me an example. So you guys were in alignment there. That's good. Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think, you know, when you have an idea, you think that it's like instant gratification. You want it done immediately. But I also have found that sometimes that time helps the idea actually get better too. So when things don't always happen right away, I find that that gap is a great opportunity to improve my thinking or improve the idea. It doesn't just stop there, you know?
I was once told that the skill of rumination is extremely good to master as a leader. And it's one that I certainly struggle with because I like things to be done right away. But there is something to be said for giving something a day, some time to think about it, because you might change your mind.
I'm that person with a Keurig in the morning who's like, why can't this go faster? And that's just like, it's like a 10 seconds, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm personally innovation means it's like, why can't we just make it happen? But I have found, it's interesting, in the workshops I do with clients, I have found that doing multiple mini sessions over time has actually proven to have better results than a big weekend away. And I think that's because of exactly what you were just saying, is that that rumination is actually really important, but we don't see that as work. We see that as delay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Self-reflection. Very important.
Yeah. Well, I mean, sometimes like something pops into your head and you're like, oh, but you wouldn't have thought about it in the moment. So here's my last question for you. It's my favorite of all of them. What's one thing we'd be surprised to learn about you?
Okay. So I guess maybe I have two small things. First, probably a funny thing is this, I enjoy UFC. It's probably the only sport that I will pay to watch. Really love the fights. Francis Ngannou is my favorite fighter, heavyweight. And then another odd skill that is completely useless is I'm wonderful at hula hooping. And I once won a hula hooping contest where I hula hooped for 4 hours straight. So should anyone ever need that skill? Without stopping.
Oh my God, what did you do about water? Did you like, when you were hula hooping and like drinking water and eating, like how did you sustain for 4 hours?
Yeah, well, I mean, so I can walk a little bit back and forth with the hula hoop once you kind of practice that. And then you just have somebody hand you a water and drink and set it back over and you're good to go. But you don't want to drink too much because you're going for 4 hours straight with the hula hoop. But
so you've probably seen this, but that's become not trendy. It's a niche trend. As an exercise class.
Oh, I for sure have TikTok and watched a TikTok video with exercise hula hoops. And I now have an exercise hula hoop sitting in my basement that I've used maybe 3 or 4 times. So
yeah, of course. Right. That's always really good. Oh my God. Well, those are both super interesting and I would be totally surprised by both of those. So, awesome. Savannah, thank you. I just, you know, for those watching and listening, I think you're a wealth of insights and practical insights, which is what I love. You're out there doing it and getting it done. And Highway is very lucky to have you. You are such a shining example of what we can accomplish as an everyday innovator. So thank you for sharing your story.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. This has been super fun.
Congratulations. By listening to this podcast, you took another step towards becoming an everyday innovator. To leap forward, visit www.gotolaunchstreet.com and take the Innovation Quotient Edge Assessment to discover your unique everyday innovator style and access the Everyday Innovator Digital Magazine for the top tools, insights, and inspiration at your fingertips 24/7. Tamara will be back with another Everyday Innovator conversation soon. In the meantime, if you got a nugget of value out of this podcast, let Tamara know by leaving a 5-star review and comment. Your review equals more guests, more listens, bigger impact. Until next time.